Regardless of your age, you likely remember the favorite Bible school song called The Lord's Army. The words go like this. And by the way, feel free to join me with the motions if you know them. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. Welcome to Through the Bible. And today in our study, Dr. McGee takes us through some of the most wonderful metaphors that Paul uses to explain the Christian life, including the one that inspired this popular children's song. So as we read through 2 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 13, I know that you'll be surprised to find out the significant influence this passage has had on how we as Christians view our role in the world based on Paul's powerful word images. Since we've been speaking of soldiers, we often receive letters from those who selflessly serve their countries, and I'd love to share some of those with you today. The first one comes to us all the way from Ethiopia, where a young man writes, "To the presenter of the Bible study in the Oromo language, I lack the words to praise the Lord for this radio program. When I am on military duty, the Bible study has become my great treasure in the Word of God. I am still strong in my faith because of it." And then here's another letter, also from an Ethiopian who listens in a different language called Amharic. "I am living where the condition is not stable due to guerrilla fighters. The majority of people here are Muslim believers. It is not easy to find other Christians in this region. We soldiers are always on alert and on duty to watch every corner to protect the people and the country from any surprise attack from those rebels. The thing I realized and learned from these situations is that God is our only protector. He saves my life from different bad situations. He is my fortress. Your Bible teaching program has erected my feet on the solid rock of the Word of God. Even though I am surrounded with such difficulties, I don't miss any of the programs." Wow. Let's pray that God blesses both of these brothers. Now, our last letter is from a soldier, this one in the U.S. National Guard, and writes, "Hello, my friends. Greetings from Afghanistan. Thank you for your program. It has helped me to be able to continue listening while away from home. Life is different here, and I'm grateful for your solid Bible teaching to keep me on track. And I want to say a special thank you to this young man and to all of those who defend our freedoms, especially the freedom that we have to share the gospel freely and openly." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing and encouragement that your word is to all of us, particularly those who sacrifice to defend the rights of others. We're grateful that regardless of where we live, in Canada, the U.S., or even all the way in Ethiopia, that you're our fortress and our rock. And as we listen today, please strengthen and guide us so that we can share your word and give you glory in everything that we do. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we've come to the delightful second chapter of 2 Timothy. And this is a very wonderful chapter, by the way. And I've labeled it Active in Service. There are some very interesting things that we have here in this chapter. There are seven figures of speech that are used to describe the duty and the activity of a believer. And I think that it should be impressed more and more as we come to the end time into which we live. Now, you'll notice in this section here that there are seven that are used. And Paul, you remember in the first chapter, talked to this young Timothy about his calling, about the fact that he had a gift and that he today is to accept the afflictions of the gospel and that he's to take a stand for Christ. Now he begins this chapter with the first figure of speech, "Thou therefore, my son." Now, Timothy was not the son of Paul in a physical way. He was the spiritual father in the sense that it was under his ministry that this young man had turned to Christ. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now a child of God here needs to recognize that he's been born into God's family by his faith in Christ. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He's now in the family of God, and he's a child of God. And because of that, he says, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, I love that. Be strong in grace. My friend, if you think today that you can grit your teeth and go out and do it on your own, you're in for a grave disappointment. And if you feel that somehow or another you can follow a few little rules, there are a lot of gimmicks abroad today. They're quite clever, that if you do this first one, this one, and the next one, everything's going to work out all right. Well, don't you detect that that's just another legal system that's being given to you today that appeals actually to the old man? Paul has no rules, and the Word of God has no rules today for the child of God actually to live the Christian life. We are saved by grace. We're to live by the grace of God and be strong in that grace of God. Now, let's come to this way. May I say to you, my dad used to give me, he traveled a great deal in the work that he was in. He was away from home a great deal, and he always put down a few rules for me when he left. Some of them I did. I had to cut the wood. And I didn't mind that. One time we had a place that had a lot of trees on it. And I would cut down the trees. And I would cut up the wood. I enjoyed that. Marvelous exercise, by the way. And I enjoyed it very much. But he had some other rules that, frankly, I didn't go for. And I hate to say it, but one of them was that I was to go to Sunday school. The interesting thing is, he didn't go himself, but he always made me go. And when he's away from home, I didn't go. I went fishing one time, and he came home suddenly and came down and found me. I didn't even know he was in a mile of the place, and I was doing pretty good. I pulled out a fish. I pulled it out, and it came back up, and I turned around, and I stood my dad. And he said to me, he said, son, you haven't any luck. My luck ran out right at that moment. But even at that time, I appealed to him. He's my father. He's my dad. And I didn't know it later on, but I found out he was a heavy drinker, and I found out he'd lived a pretty wild life. And I appealed to him, not knowing that, though, that I'd done wrong, and by grace, he's good to me. And he said, I brought home a sack of candy for you and your sister to divide. I wasn't going to let you have it, but I think I will now. You know, may I say to you, I really took advantage of his good nature and the fact I was his son. Now, he died when I was 14, and I now had a heavenly father since then, and I sure do appeal to his grace, and he's my heavenly father. When things go wrong down here, I go to him, and I appeal to him, and when I fail, I don't run from him. I used to, but I don't anymore, because I don't want to get out on the end of that switch. That's where it stings. I come in close to him. And my friend, that's where it won't hurt very much. We're a son. What a marvelous figure of speech. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. When I hear Christians say today, I don't do this, I don't do the other thing, and I'm following a little set of rules, and I'm going down this particular program, I know immediately they know very little about the grace of God. They know very little about the grace of God. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now he says, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now Paul was greatly concerned about the future. And rightly so. I think all of us, as we approach the conclusion of our ministry, we wonder about the future. We wonder whether there'll be coming along men who will preach and teach the Word of God. And sometimes we develop an Elijah complex. I know I have at times. When I was in downtown Los Angeles, there were times I felt like Elijah and said, "Oh, Lord, I'm the only one left." But I found out that that's all wrong today. One of the greatest thrills to me right now is, since I've retired, the Lord has raised up all of a sudden, right here in Southern California, some of the finest young preachers that I know anywhere. And I've traveled across the country, and I wouldn't dare begin to mention these men because I'd leave out some good ones. But in many places I've been at help meetings, I find young men there that are standing for the things of God today. And that's a real concern. And Timothy was to teach in order that these things might be given to faithful men, and they will be able to teach others also. God will raise up men with gifts, and I'm of the opinion that that's the way that he moves today. Now, as a son of God, we ought to be concerned about our Father's business. The Lord Jesus, as a boy in his humanity, said, "I must be about my Father's business." Well, I become a son of God, not like the Lord Jesus, but I become a son of God through faith in him. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more nor less than simply believe in his name. Now, I'm interested in my Father's business. By the way, are you interested in your Father's business, of getting out the Word of God today? And that's what Paul's talking about. Paul is not here talking about these little side issues today. There's many a sideshow that's called the main circus, and it's not. The main circus, the main business, is getting out the Word of God. And you and I today need to recognize we need the grace of God in our lives as his son. Somebody says today, "Well, I'm disappointed in myself." You are? Well, that means you must have believed in yourself, and you shouldn't have. You're walking by the grace of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Then somebody says, "Well, I'm discouraged." Well, that means you do not believe God's word and way of blessing. You really thought you could do it your way, and now you're discouraged. And then there are those that say, "Well, I hope I can do better." Well, actually, then you do expect to get some good out of the old nature. My friend, be strong in the grace of God today. Now, I move down to verse 3 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, Christian is a soldier. Now, that means there's a battle to be won. And the number one is put down here of the seven figures of speech, a good soldier. Number one is my son. And number two is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, how is the child of God a soldier? Well, we saw in the last chapter of Ephesians, he's fighting a spiritual battle, and that he needs the armor of God. Now, he says in verse 4 here, "No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, can you imagine a soldier in the midst of battle going to his lieutenant or sergeant and saying, "Well, Sergeant, I'm sorry to have to leave, but I've got to go over into the city and make a deposit and see about some business over there. And then I got a date with a girl, a local girl tonight, and I just won't be able to be here." Can you imagine a soldier doing that in the midst of battle? Well, a great many Christians are trying to fight like that today. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, this is, of course, a matter of priorities. Here he is to endure hardness. And that means to suffer hardness with Paul. That is the thing that he's talking about here. And I do not think that this in any way means that a man is not to get married. There are those that have used that as an argument, have used this verse. Hasn't anything in the world to do with that. It means to be entangled in the world down here in such a way that he's not able really to live the Christian life or that sort of thing. I had a lady call me one time in Los Angeles, and she said I was at church. And when you ask for those to accept Christ, I accepted Christ, but I made no move at all from my seat. And the reason is that my husband died recently, and he and I operated a liquor store. And I'm running the liquor store. And I wondered about it. And I'm calling you now because I don't think I can continue. Now, if you say, get a hammer and go in there and break every bottle, I'll do it. But you tell me what to do. Now, what would you have said? Now, I'm going to get some letters on this one, by the way. I'll tell you what I told her. I said, don't go in there and break bottles. You won't stop the liquor business breaking up a few bottles. If you could, I'd be for that. But that's been your only income. I would say, sell it and go out of the business. That's the way that you're not to entangle yourself in the things of this life. And that is, in my judgment, the thing that the child of God is to recognize, that you and I, as a soldier today, we are to understand that the Christian life is not a playground, but it's a battlefield. And it's a battlefield where battles are being won and actually battles are being lost. And therefore, the child of God is to recognize that there's a spiritual battle on. Now, will you notice, he says in verse 5, and if a man also strive, now the man here means an athlete. If a man also strive for masteries, that is, he wants to win the game, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And strive here refers to contending in the game. And this is the third figure of speech. If a man also strive, an athlete. Now, someone has put it like this in a very succinct manner. The only exercise some Christians get is jumping to conclusions, running down their friends, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing their luck. Well, that's not the kind of exercise here that Paul is talking about. He spoke of the Christian life as being a race course, and he says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then Paul also said that everyone that is striving for crown, he keeps himself under control. He does that. And Paul says, I want to keep myself under control. I want to run the Christian race in such a way that the one who is down there at the end of the race, the Lord Jesus, will be able to reward me and be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How important that is. And we need to recognize that, by the way, friends, that this is something that is all important for the child of God. Now, we come to the fourth figure of speech. The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And that simply means the one who is a farmer is the one that is to till the field. He is the one that sows the seed of the Word of God. And therefore, he's the one that's going to enjoy. We hear a great deal today about laying sheaves at the feet of Jesus. Well, that's great. I sure hope that we'll be able to put a few there. I'd love to think that we could put a few there. But my friend, there's got to be here the sowing and the laboring, the sowing of the seed. And then If he does that, then there will be a harvest. One of the reasons, friends, I don't cooperate with these great movements that are abroad today about they're going to convert the world, evangelize the world. Well, I'm doing my thing here in the way that I see fit, but my feeling is that the Word of God has to be sown today. And I take the position that the total Word of God must be sown. Well, he says here, verse 7, now consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now he brings in, this is a wonderful verse, our translation has it, remember that Jesus Christ. Now that word that is not in the original. It's been put there. Remember Jesus Christ. Isn't that lovely? Paul just stops to say, remember Jesus Christ. Regardless, remember Jesus Christ. And what about him? He's of the seed of David. That means he's going to sit on David's throne down here. He was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, it's Paul's gospel because he's the one that preached this gospel. That's important to see. Now, he says, for which I suffer trouble. And I believe you'll get in a little trouble if you stand for the Word of God. You'll get in trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the Word of God's not bound. And Paul was in chains, but Paul discovered that the Word of God was going out and did go out in the Roman world. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And he made it very clear that even in that Roman world, with a mad Caesar on the throne, a dictator of dictators. And he had put Paul in prison. Paul says, I'm in bonds. Word of God is not in bonds. Thank God. It goes out today and will continue to go out. God says that. Now we come to verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now again here, this should be if we have died with him. When did we die with him? When he died, 1900 years ago, buried with him in identification by baptism, and raised with him in newness of life. Now, if we died with him, we'll live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, first of all, if we have trusted Christ and he bore our sins, he died for us. That's the first thing. That means we're going to live with him. He was raised from the dead. We are going to be raised. We're going to be with him. Now, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, I personally believe that not all believers are going to reign with him. I know that there are those that differ with us in that, but that's all right. I believe this is now another group. This narrows it down to those that have suffered with him. I'd sure be embarrassed if I was put on the same par with the Apostle Paul in heaven. I'd be apologizing to him every moment for being along by his side, and I very frankly don't think I shall be, and I won't be disappointed if I'm not. I think that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, as a child of God, you can't deny him. Now, in that Roman world, I tell you that many Christians were made martyrs, 5 million of them, according to Fox, because they wouldn't deny him. Verse 13, now, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, God is faithful. God will make good his promises to you. But, my friend, if you won't believe, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. That doesn't mean he didn't die for you. That just simply means that he's faithful. He won't deny himself. You can deny him. All right, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Wasn't that an inspiring message? If you'd like to know more about how you can live faithfully, Dr. McGee wrote a booklet called Living the Christian Life God's Way. To download it, visit the resources section at ttb.org and click on the link that says free booklets. And while you're online, be sure to check out the many other resources that line our shelves and to help you deepen your own study of God's Word. Again, the address is ttb.org. And remember, you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find something specific. Do you have a Facebook profile? Well, if you're a member of that community, then you'll want to follow Through the Bible. There you'll see updates and you'll have access to wonderful comments from our friends who post on our page. It's a great way to keep in touch with us. And you may even want to post a message of what God's doing in your life through Dr. McGee's messages. And don't forget that you can stay connected with us through Twitter and Instagram as well. Well, that's all for us today. Tomorrow, the Bible bus rolls along on our 5-year journey through the entire Word of God as we spend more time studying Paul's illustrations of the Christian life found in 2 Timothy. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be right here saving a seat just for you.
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.